faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we would love to see you this weekend. I know it's going to be Labor Day weekend because we are in September. Last third of the year, this has been the most unusual year, I do believe, that I have ever lived in. And, you know, God's in control. And so we are continuing to press on, and we're praying that the last 4 months will be a whole lot less melodramatic than the first part. We're praying that it'll be healthy and that it will be peaceful, and it's an election year, so I may be hoping against hope there for that, but we're going to continue to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So, like I said, it is September the 1st, four months to go. This coming weekend, because it's Labor Day, I have a my worship leader is not going to be there this week, and so you pray that everything comes off okay the way that it is supposed to. This year has been, it's been an interesting year, and so rather than her and her husband being away, they're away this weekend almost every year, but this year they're addressing some other needs that they have going on instead of going away. And so if you would lift them up in your prayers, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated in their life. So we will be having church on Sunday, and we will be celebrating the goodness of God, and hope to see you there. I'll be sharing the word this coming Sunday. So we're going to go back today to Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6 is where we started reading yesterday. And it says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." So just to remind you, we're talking about things that belong to God, that God says belongs to God. Okay? So it's not like a person that finds something and they says, "Mine, mine, mine, all mine." I think that Daffy Duck was the one who said that. But God says they are, that it belongs to him, and it is our privilege to be able to worship him in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in his sight. So the tithe is holy. It's separated unto God. It has a special purpose in God's heart. And here in Malachi chapter 3, we read that when we are faithful to obey God's commandment, that it sets us up for exponential supernatural favor and blessing from heaven. Okay? And there are a lot of people that say, "Well, the church is just all about money." Then we're really bad at it. Because I don't know of a church anywhere that has the type of income that some of the Wall Street organizations have. I don't know a pastor that has the type of salary that some of the CEOs of these corporations have. Not saying they're not out there. I don't know them. If they're, I do know a whole lot of pastors. I know one pastor right now who has worked for almost a year without any pay whatsoever. I know another pastor right here in Florida that is ministering to an extremely impoverished group. He's not in it for the money and the fame. I know way more pastors that are in it for the glory of God than they are about in anything as far as the finances go. I will tell you this. If you're getting into the ministry thinking that it is going to be a pathway to you getting rich quick, the only way to do that is, well, I can't say the only way, but the most logical way to get rich doing ministry is to be skirting legal issues one way or the other. That's not the way it normally, it's not just not the way that happens. If you're a pastor and that's what your motive is, you need to find a different line of work. Okay, said that. Now, let me say this. I have no dog in this fight as far as any sort of personal reward or compensation for teaching this message. I'm sharing it on the radio program here so that you can bless your church ministry. Okay? Your tithe does not belong to the radio program unless that's your only church. And I know some people that is the case because of, you know, the physical conditions and limitations that they have. But you need a Bible preaching church that you can belong to. And if you do, that's where your tithe belongs. The first 10%, God wants that there. So I the only reason I have to teach this is to set you up for unprecedented blessings in your life. So people could criticize and talk about things all they want. None of that has any bearing on this. I when I started doing this teaching, now this particular truth I already knew. But when I start researching a subject, whatever the Word of God says, that's what I teach. And this Word says that the tithe belongs to God. And so that's why in verse number 8 of Malachi chapter 3, it says that God says that the covenant people had robbed him in tithes and offerings. And the consequence of that action, remember, that was taking something that belonged to God and reappropriating it according to their desires, not his desires. And he says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Okay? I knew a person years and years ago, long time ago. And I would say probably 20 years ago. And he was always down on his luck. He was, you know, just barely eking out a survival. We helped him to find a job, and that didn't work out well. And the thing about this individual was he could quote the scriptures like nobody's business. I mean, he could quote the Bible from front cover to back cover. We had somebody in the church that was really good at quoting the Bible. This guy was better at quoting the Bible than this other guy. But the thing was, he was not a person of integrity when it came to finances. And I'm not talking about just as far as tithes and offerings. I'm talking about he would borrow money and then he would never pay it back. And so as a pastor, my job is to help people in that situation. And he had gone, we hadn't seen him for a long time. And he knocked on the door and I said, oh, man, am I glad to see you. And he said, well, why is that? I said, because I was worried about you. And he said, really? Why were you worried about me? And more concerned than worry. And I said, well, I didn't know what had happened to you since you were living under a curse. And he said, I am not cursed. I am blessed and highly favored. And he started quoting scripture. And I said, no, you robbed God. You robbed God. And the Bible says that when you rob God, you are cursed with a curse. And for some reason, he never came back. But for me, I would rather confront the person with the reality of the situation than for them to go away deceived, thinking that they are right with God, than and being out of alignment with God's will. I would rather them know the truth than go away thinking that they were in a right place and they were in a wrong place. So it says you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Now, the reality is that Jesus came to bear the weight of the curses for us. So, but that his act that removes the curse was not to empower us to continue to live in disobedience to God's word. It was to break the power of that curse over us, because it was depriving us of right relationship with God. So it's Jesus' work on the cross disarms the curse so that we can live the life of holiness, righteousness, and obedience that God always wants us to live. And so it says, even this whole nation bring, by the way, the word nation there simply means people group. So there was an entire group of peace. And you look in Malachi and you will find that the first group of people that God corrects is the priest. You look in the New Testament and you see the judgment must begin at the house of God. We need to get things right in the house of God if we have any expectation of our country and the world that we live in ever getting back to a right position with God. The pastors have got to lead the way in repentance and humility to make sure that we are living a life of obedience to God. So God lays out a plan of action, and it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. He's talking about the tithes of the whole nation. He says, you bring it into the storehouse. The storehouse was at the temple. It was where people came when they were going to get food. The reason I said that we're pretty bad at the money thing is because churches help out a lot of people. I mean, this year with the coronavirus, there have been people that we have helped that own their own business, and because the business that they had worked with other businesses that were shut down, guess what that meant for their business? Their business was also shut down. Well, guess what? They still have got to eat and pay their utilities and all of that sort of stuff. And so they've had to look for, and then you've got people who are just barely making it on a regular basis. And the church, during a crisis like this, suddenly people find out the church is not a luxury or a convenience. It is an essential ministry. And so I can tell you from personal experience, people just don't go knocking on doors of businesses when they are down on their luck, but they have no problem knocking on doors of churches or calling churches or showing up to a church they've never been to. There's none of that difficulty. Churches are the ones that run food pantries and houses of hope and all of that sort of stuff. And so all of that takes finance. It takes supply, and it doesn't take a rich person. Listen, I've told you that I don't have rich people in my church, but at one point in time I did. But you know what I discovered? Not because I monitor this, because I'm not going to be monitoring your giving records. There are a few people who listen that that make some donations to Merit Assembly of God, and we are very, very grateful for that. But you know what you can't do? You can't ask me how much they give because I don't know. I don't monitor that situation. I don't. That's the treasurer's job. That's the bookkeeper's responsibility. You know what I want to do? I want to teach the Word of God altered by personal opinion of how much a person gives. So if a person is walking in obedience to God and their tithe is $10 a week, meaning that they make $100 a week, I want to celebrate them. I want to give God the, you know why? Because by the time that comes out, they've got less to deal with. They need, but they're stepping out in faith, and they're really going to experience the blessings and the favor of God. At one point in time, my tithe was extremely, extremely tiny. I came up with a solution for tithing the first 10% to God, and that is I tithe before I get paid. I saved up my money to where I could tithe before my paycheck hit. So before I ever get my paycheck, the Sunday before I get my paycheck, I'm writing a tithe out for however much that tithe is at that point in time. Because I'm not being legalistic about it. I just want to be doing the best that I can for it. Here's what God's action plan is. Because he's never going to address a problem without giving you a plan of correction. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. By the way, I think on yesterday's program, I said it either end today or tomorrow. It's going to be a little longer than that. We still got some things to discuss. So that's one of the privileges that we have of doing a live radio program like this. We can elaborate on the word as much as we need to. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And so with people who get saved at our church, we want to help them to grow in their understanding of obedience in this area of finances. We do. And so we like to help them in their growth in Christ. Because people come to the storehouse. Why do you come to the storehouse? When you have need. When you have need. So the tithe that came in, it was meant to take care of all of the Levites. There was no retirement plan. The Levites didn't have fields that they could plant and harvest and all of that sort of stuff. This was designed to make sure there was an adequate supply. Can you imagine what the dilemma would have been had Joseph, who was in charge of Pharaoh's storehouses in Egypt, if he had not faithfully gathered into the storehouses all of the excess grain during the 7 years of abundance? What if he had squandered it? What if he said, I know that it belonged to Pharaoh, but we're going to do something different with it. And then the 7 years of crisis hit. You see, what I have found is many people don't do well spiritually when they are thriving, when they're prospering, when their immediate needs are all being met. God seems to slide down the scale and there's not as much emphasis put on him unless there's a crisis. Well, let me tell you something. In my life, the life cycles of crises and life without crises, that ebbs and flows. Okay? I don't know too many people who haven't gone through some difficult times. I used to live out in the oil capital region, and I remember reading a bumper sticker. It says, "Dear God, please let there be another oil boom, and this time I promise not to mess it up." Well, you know what? God has sent another oil boom. I think there's actually been a couple of oil booms, and right now it's kind of been an oil bust out there. And I often think about that guy with that bumper sticker and say, I wonder if he did any better the next time. But historically, we don't. We live without margins in our life. God says, look, I want the storehouse to be there for the regular needs, but I also want the storehouse to be there for critical needs. And he goes and he says that there may be food in my house. You know, one of the things that you hear a lot of times is people, when they're changing churches, they go and they say, well, I'm just not being fed. I'm not being fed spiritually. So let me address that real quick. If you've got a Bible and you're not being fed, it's not the pastor's fault. It's your fault. If you aren't being fed, then you either, A, don't have access to a radio, don't have access to Christian television, don't have access to YouTube or Facebook, because there's a world of resources out there. You don't have access to a free library system. Listen, don't use the excuse, I'm not being fed. Okay? The second is if people are not honoring the Lord with their finances, then the church leadership is left having to fixate on a number of different issues that they wouldn't have to be focused on if people were honoring the Lord with their tithes. So every once in a while, there's a statistic that comes out. Merit Assembly of God is much higher than this. I don't know. I know we're not 100%. I wish I could say we were 100% that people tithe. We're not. But we're better than this number. That on average, that 4% of Christians tithe. That was the latest statistic. That on a national scale, that 4% of Christians tithe. There's a friend of mine, and he said that he knew of a minister, and he told his congregation that if the entire congregation was on welfare and they tithed, that they would make budget. Okay? And it wasn't a poor congregation. It was a pretty affluent congregation. In other words, there were a lot of people who were misappropriating something that wasn't theirs. Okay? That's called embezzlement or fraud or theft. Okay? God says, bring it all all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Okay? We're going to probably talk about that tomorrow as far as the purpose. But this is one of the places that God says, you can put me to the test and you will find that life obeying me with biblical stewardship principles is better than life where you are living in disobedience to stewardship principles. Life is better tithing than not tithing. Okay? There was a time I was headed to church and I saw something and it was like, God, I don't understand. Okay, just in case you think that pastors don't have questions like this, this one does. I was looking, and there was a person who names the name of Jesus and claims to be a Christian, and they were driving a brand new car, and you know how many times they go to church? Virtually none. You know how much they give to church? Virtually nothing. And I said, God, I don't understand. The reason why I said that is because while they were driving a brand new car, at one point in time, I drove a $5 car, the car I bought for $5. That was the list price, $5. It was a car dealership, and I think it was $5. Anyway, by the time I got out of there with a dealer fee, I think it was $300. And I drove that car. It wasn't a great car, but it was a functional car. See, a car for me is not a status symbol, but I was like, God, I don't understand. And he said, would you really want that? That thing's headed for the junkyard, but you're storing up treasure in heaven. And I said, you know what? I think I'll just continue to do it the way that you say to do it. God says you can try me in this. I will tell you this, that I have discovered that life, honoring God with my finances, has made a marked improvement in not only my spiritual life, but it's made a marked improvement in my financial well-being. You know, not only do we tithe, my entire family tithes. My brother tithes, my sister tithes, their families tithe, my parents tithe, all my children tithe. And so I'll say congratulations to my daughter. She got engaged here a couple of weeks ago, and there were some questions that I asked about her husband to be, and that was before it wasn't something we were surprised about. We knew it was moving that direction. But I said, does he honor God with his tithe and offering? And she said, oh yes, he does. And it's like, good, because you're a real treasure. And I don't want a person who's robbing God, because if they'll rob from God, they'll rob from anybody. And that's truly the way that I feel about it. You and I, we can test God in this. We can prove him. Now, I will tell you this. Sometimes if you operate the test and you don't get all the variables right, sometimes you can get a faulty reading, but it's not because the test was wrong. It was because we didn't do it right. I tell a story, and the professor said, the reason you didn't get the right answer is because 9 times 7 is 63. Not 56. I messed up. Don't mess up. We'll see you next time. Right.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Befriended by the King above all kings. Surrender, surrender to the friend above all friends. Invited deep into this mystery. Delighted by the wonders I have seen. This will be my story. This will be my song.